Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Hope you're all having a great Wednesday wherever you are, getting ready for training camp. A couple weeks away. Cannot wait. Just got done with a great conversation with Justice regarding the undrafted free agent class. The video dropped about an hour ago, so you make sure to check that out when we're done here. Looking at which undrafted free agents may have an opportunity to crack the 53-man roster on opening weekend, something that has happened each and every year going back to when Ted came on board in Green Bay as the general manager. Although last year, a bit convoluted with Narv Dog being the undrafted guy who made the roster. But nevertheless, he was an undrafted free agent, and he did make the roster. So be sure you check that conversation out. It's always great to talk to Justice. Always great to talk to you fine folks, Packers fans worldwide. If you sense maybe possibly your humble narrator here being a bit downtrodden, a bit low energy, I got to tell you, it's been a day. It's been a very rough day. Lots of problems technically, lots of issues in the cloud on various programs, and just a, you know, overall frustrating afternoon. So it's a weird kind of combination of, you know, all this frustration and work and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, I don't have a real job. You know, I talk to you guys every day about football. What a gig. So it's like, I just want to say thank you because, you know, 5 o'clock is approaching and it's the one time of the day where I just get to hang out with Packers fans, like-minded individuals who, you know, understand that idea of always being ready and on and able to talk about the green and gold. Gosh knows. This is the silly season, as it were, leading up to training camp when there are no headlines, there is no news, but there are plenty of rankings, off-season rankings, and people getting upset about rankings. And that seems to have been the case this past week with a couple of different outlets putting out their offensive line rankings. I know PFF in particular rankled a bunch of feathers in the Packers fandom. Man, I just have a real very simple question for you. Who cares? Who cares about off-season rankings? They are worth less than the pixels that you are utilizing while watching me digitally on this platform. They are not worth the paper they're printed with if they are printed out. You can just completely ignore them. And whether you engage with them, whether you totally ignore them, they're, you know, effect on the actual game of football is the same, completely negligible. I get it's content, and I get I should be more in on this kind of thing as a content creator, but it's so disingenuous because, okay, you rank them. Then what? Do they ever get to square off to prove who's better or who's the best? It would be hilarious to watch two offensive lines try to, I guess, block each other. But no, you know, the idea that A, that you can even kind of come up with some kind of perfect context where it would make sense to rank these things is beyond ridiculous. Five individuals working together in concert, in certain systems, against different competition. There are so many variables. Of course, though, the internet has to rank them. So seeing the Packers ranked wherever the hell they have been ranked in these offseason rankings, it's almost time to prove it. Man, no one's going to give a shit where the Packers offensive line was ranked when Elgton Jenkins is taking the soul of a linebacker at the second level, springing Josh Jacobs for a big gain. I guarantee you no one's going to care where the offensive line was ranked when they stonewall a blitz and Jordan Love is given enough time to throw a touchdown pass to Matthew Golden. You know, it's just, I don't mind off-season content. I understand that people are trying to provide value and something to talk about. Certainly, I understand that. But the way the reaction, the instant reaction almost always seems to be, oh, it's such a slight or it's such a, you know, these people don't know what they're talking about or whatever. It's like, man, if you are that aggrieved, just keep scrolling. Just keep going on with your life. It's fine. Nothing else is going to happen. Just keep going. And what's great is it is almost time to prove it. It is almost time for these guys to get on the field, put the pads on, and show what they're made of. I think we as Packers fans understand the Packers offensive line and its potential a hell of a lot better than any national group or person that is covering all 32 teams. We know where they're at. We know how they've improved. We know how they should improve from last year to this year. it's just, you know, it's just funny watching people get all worked up about it. It ain't worth it. Just move on with your life. And you know what you should do instead? You should buy some tickets to Packers games. That's right. Shout out to our good friends over at Ticket King. Based in Wisconsin since 1992, Ticket King is located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link on the Cheesehead TV homepage or, indeed, in the description of this video. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of these national companies. Use a company based in Wisconsin since the early 90s. Ticket King for all your Packers ticket needs. Do it, folks. What's going on here, folks? Ed starting us off with a super chat. Thank you, Ed. Save your frustration for when Germany kicks England's ass in the Euro Cup. I got to be honest, I have not really been following the women's Euros. I just, you know, there's only so many hours in the day, and I'm already following the Club World Cup, and I got work, and I'm working on, you know, Motel Men's new EP coming out next week, plug. So, you know, I got a lot going on. Plus, I got to deal with my life and my kids and just not enough hours in my life to get in on the Euros. But I will be watching Chelsea in the final on Sunday. That's going to be a lot of fun. Joe, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. Will we get any real Packer headlines before training camp starts? I suspect we'll get something on Elgton Jenkins, either good or bad, or as Gandalf would say, for good or for evil. I do think we'll have some kind of update on Elgton. Now, look, the rookies are set to report on the 18th, which is next Friday, and then veterans are supposed to report on the 22nd with the first practice slated to be on the morning of the 23rd, right? So I would suspect either that Friday when the rookies start to report or early Monday, when we're getting close to the veterans having to report, we'll start to get rumblings, both in regards to Elgton, but just, you know, team-wide. If there's a guy dealing with an unexpected injury, which always seems to occur when they reconvene for training camp, you know, we'll probably get a headline or two in that regard. So things will start rumbling to life late next week, essentially, like starting next Friday, or maybe even Thursday, but more likely Friday when the rookies start to report. Gary Bishop, hello, Nags. How are you? Well, I'll tell you what, Gary. I've had better days. You know, it's one of those days where nothing really worked the way it was supposed to. I had designs this morning when I woke up. Sun was up. Birds were singing. I'm going to get all this stuff done. I'm going to accomplish so much. And I didn't basically get any of it done, mostly due to technical issues. And that is a major, majorly frustrating kind of day. So, as I said at the top, it's just nice to be able to sit down for a second and talk to you guys and kind of rid my mind of that stuff. Ooh, William, hot take. Well, maybe not that hot, but a take. Anthony Belton is too good not to play right away. He'll be their best O-lineman by the end of the year. Hot damn, William coming up in here saying declaratively, Anthony Belton is too good not to play right away. I mean, I like the tape, but you never know what's going to happen when those pads come on and you start facing NFL competition. It's a whole nother world, man. Now, that doesn't mean he won't be able to walk in Reinicke Field, show what he's got, and maybe make some noise and maybe make a case for being on the field. 100% possible, right? But especially at tackle, I think that's going to be tough. Maybe they run him at guard, and maybe he gets an opportunity to win that right guard spot. I could see that occurring. It's going to be a wide-open competition, so never say never. But we've got a ways to go. The rookie's got to show that he belongs first. You know, we will see. Joe says the Brewers and the Dodgers are heading to extras. Well, that's good. That means at least the Brewers came back. That's good. Any word on Belton and his contract? No, David. There hasn't been any movement on most of the second rounders. Something we talked with Brian Gutekunst about on Packer Transplants a couple weeks ago. Like I said then, and I think I reiterated it here on Daily a couple of days later, I wouldn't expect much to get done until next week, like late next week, when you know, Packers are slated to get into camp. You know, he's slated to get in on Friday. I know a lot. There are a few other teams that are going to start reporting, like I believe later this week or early next, because they're playing in the Hall of Fame game, etc. So you'll start to see some of the second round deals get done, most likely start trickling in, and that will affect kind of the run of second rounders that are all kind of waiting. But yeah, I think I would suspect Belton would get, they would get something done with him most likely like next Thursday, Wednesday, Thursday. That's just guesswork. Hell, it could happen tomorrow for all we know. It could happen tonight, but that would be my guess. William, I get this question a lot. Some are in and some are out. What time should I get to the practice field for training camp? You know, back in the day, they would start practice at 10. Now they start practice at 10:30. Regardless, I know back in the day when Corey and I were trying to get good spots to sit in the bleachers at Radnitschke, we would get there at like 6, like super early to make sure that we got a middle spot. But I will say, the need to make sure that you get the middle has kind of changed as far as Matt really kind of switches up where the main kind of scrimmages are happening throughout practice. Like back in the day, it used to be always happening somewhat towards the middle, right? So you always kind of wanted to be there because if you're way down at the end, it was really hard to see stuff. But now there's a lot of action on both sides and in the middle and kind of all over Radnitschke. So I don't think it's as imperative that you get there so early to make sure you get that particular set of seats. But I will say, if you are interested in following the football, you know, and not being having relegated to the edges and fringes and what have you, yeah, I would make sure you get there yeah, 2 or 3 hours early. And I know it feels like a lot, but I just, if you want a great seat, you don't have to worry about it. I would get there very early. That's how I roll. Soder, what's going on, man? Was mapping out finances for 2025 Packer trips. Learned that I get a 6% back on every super chat. Can't afford not to do it. Just pocketed 30 cents. Incredible. I mean, it's such a deal. It's the deal of a lifetime, Soder. Seems like you have to do it. Why do we move on from Ryan Longwell? Wow, that's an old school question, Rob. Finances, mostly. I think they didn't want to pay him. And, you know, Minnesota did. And he didn't want to eat at Applebee's anymore. The old heads will get that reference. Deals for Zach or Quay? I think Zach will most likely happen, probably, hopefully, sometime this summer. I'm not necessarily going to say it's going to happen before training camp starts, but I would suspect it gets done before week one. That's just guesswork, but that's my hunch. As for Quay, I don't know that I know they want, and Brian has talked about it, including on transplants, wanting to get something done with him and lock him up, considers him a core member of the team. I don't think there's urgency to get that done. I think there's every possibility they go into the season and get something done, possibly in season. But maybe they get, you know, they lock it up before camp starts just to get it out of the way. It's a possibility. But yeah, I think clearly something will get done with Quay. What that looks like, I know I've debated it with Justice. No one really kind of has a really good handle on what that might look like, but I don't sense that there's, you know, this urgency to get it done sooner rather than later. Make sure we get it done before training camp. I think there's a decent chance it gets done right at the start or during camp. But if they elected and may say they can't work it out, and they go into the season, I don't think either side is just going to walk away from negotiations. I think there's impetus there to get it done from both parties. What else we got? I'm sure he is good at pass blocking as well. Miles ahead, better than Rashid Walker. Daryl, are you talking about who's he? Who's he in this scenario? Are we talking about Belton? Man, why does Rashid Walker get so much slight, so much kind of shade? Man, I get he ain't Jonathan Ogden in his prime, but he's a really good NFL offensive tackle. He holds it down very, very well over there on the left side. And I get it, man. I get he's been, you know, slow off the ball at times on the road in certain situations. You certainly saw him get taken advantage of in Minnesota once or twice. But, man, on balance, he's a really good player. I mean, I'm fascinated to see how this battle plays out on the left tackle spot starting a training camp. You know, Jordan Morgan's going to get an opportunity. Walker's getting an opportunity. Maybe Belton gets an opportunity there as well. But, man, people are so quick to just say, like, and I know this is strong, but I know you're not saying he's a bum or whatever, but, man, the people seem so anxious to move on from Walker. I'm like, man, I don't like getting rid of good players, and he's a good player. What else we got? Joe, what's going on, man? Did Longwell not know of Wisconsin's supper clubs? Apparently not. You know, he said there was nothing to do, nowhere to eat other than Applebee's. That was his line. Man, you know, well, he was a Favre guy too, so he was always out the door. Come on. Walker gets too many penalties. John, he got too many at the beginning of last season. There's no question about that, but he cut that down. I'm not going to say he solved it, but he certainly turned it around and was in a much better spot the back half of the year, you know. But yeah, no doubt, beginning of the season, too many holding calls, too many false starts, no doubt about it. But hell, man, Earl Dotson used to false start, you know, and he was an all-time Packer great. I don't know, man. I don't know if I go so far as to say, like, he's a problem with his penalties or anything like that. David, how do I get carry the G in Arizona? Sadly, you don't. That's the reality of it. Unless the one way you could is if you knew someone in Wisconsin that you could trust to either buy it, purchase it, and then drive it down to you in Arizona, or maybe package it and send it to you. That could potentially happen. I'm not advocating for it, but that's a way you could go about it. Just, you know, to have it in your mind, you're thinking about it as you're heading into the evening. Let me give you some fortification for wanting to do that. You know, maybe a possible something to stick in your head, maybe an earworm to make you think about it a little bit more.
Well, we carry the G wherever we may be, so creamy and cold, and from the land of the green and gold.
Carry the G beer, the official beer of Cheesehead TV. That's right, Carry the G will be available soon there in Wisconsin, statewide. Very excited to have it back on the shelves. Cannot wait to get there for training camp and have a few myself. Cannot wait. Cannot wait. Brandy, what a question. Did the draft in Green Bay this year hype us up to the point where the offseason is now that much worse? I don't know about that. I mean, I love the draft in Green Bay, and I thought it was a dope time and a ton of fun, but I don't think the offseason has been materially worse because of it. I think it's always bad because it's so long, the longest offseason in professional sports, right? It's just, there's just so little that actually happens, but so much is talked about. The, you know, it doesn't compute. It doesn't add up. It's not consummate to the very little amount of information that we are given and the amount of stuff we talk about, which is mostly nonsense, right? That's why it's so, right now is like, now is the worst time because we're so close to training camp starting and finally getting to see what this team is all about. But man, we still got a week or two to go. So it's like, oh, just dragging your body over that finish line. That's what this part of the offseason is all about. Dynamo, what's going on? Thanks for the super chat. We hear about players arriving. What players on this roster have arrived, and who do you think will arrive in 2025? That's a good question. It is interesting to see kind of the perception from the outside. I know there are lots of folks who think Jordan Love hasn't arrived. You know, I think he's their, you know, undisputed starting quarterback for the foreseeable future. He's their guy. I'm very excited for him, but I know there's a lot of Packers fans out there who think, you know, he's still got to do it on a much more consistent basis, and he's still got to prove stuff to them, man, not to the organization. But so, I mean, you can start right there, you know. I think that's going to happen in 2025. I suspect he's going to play a full season. He's not going to have the injury issues that he had at the start of the year. He's not going to miss the first couple, like the first week of practice due to the contract stuff. He's going to hit the ground running, and he's going to prove a lot of people wrong who talk about his step back last year, which is kind of ridiculous. And the idea that, you know, I've seen people talking about how he's not even, you know, in the conversation for a top 10 quarterback and all this nonsense, which is what it is. It's nonsense. So you can start right there. I think he's going to shut a lot of people up. You know, Josh Jacobs has arrived, right? I don't think there's any question there. I know there were some questions when they signed him because he had such a productive year 2 years prior. And then the season he was coming off when they signed him, not as productive, a little disappointing. There were questions, et cetera. I think there's no doubt he's a superstar player. You know, you can go down the list of so many of these guys, but as far as who's going to arrive in 2025, it feels like chalk, but it's Tucker Kraft. And I don't doubt for a moment that, you know, Kraft has shown a lot, right? But he has not reached near his potential. He could be a legit, serious weapon for this offense, for this team. And I think he does arrive as that in 2025. I think they're going to be utilizing him a lot more in different ways in this offense. And a guy who is going to be on the call sheet as the number one option, probably way more than he ever has been so far in his NFL career. So that would be my guess for who arrives in 2025. Eric, thanks for checking out the stream, man. Are there any free agents that you would like the Packers to bring in? Or are you happy with what we have? I love this squad. I think it's really good. I would not mind making a call to the Jadeveon Clowney. I think that would make some sense. I don't think they would ever do it. I had someone on Spotify mention the possibility of Von Miller as an addition. That would surprise me. I don't think they would ever make that call. But Clowney, I think that could make some sense. Again, I don't see them doing it. I suspect they'll do what they always do. They'll get to camp. They'll see what they have. Hopefully they let these guys grow. They'll see the development and the growth they've been expecting. But if they get through a couple weeks of camp and don't like what they see, or they think, oh, that maybe this isn't happening the way we expected it to, you know, then possibly they start making some calls, picking up waiver wire possibilities, etc. But, you know, if I had to guess, and that's all it is a guess, they're not going to add anybody. They might add bottom of the roster types and churn the bottom of the roster with waiver wire claims and things of that nature, but I'd be surprised if they brought in any outside free agents before getting to camp. Can Clowney cover JJ or Addison or Moore or St. Brown? No, he won't have to because the quarterback will be on the ground. Hence the point. If the receivers had half the drops they had, Jordan's conversation would be totally different. I very much agree, but you cannot deny there are plenty of opportunities that he leaves out on the field last year as well. You know, I know the receivers had a lot of drops. There's no doubt about it. But he is not blameless in some of the disappointing outcomes that the offense had throughout 2024, especially down the stretch. You know, it is a team game. And as Matt always says, quarterback gets way too much praise when they do well, way too much blame when things go wrong. But it doesn't mean he's blameless and doesn't mean that he's not a component, because he is. You know, he's got to be more consistent. But yes, the receivers hanging onto the ball will certainly help as far as the production goes. No doubt about it, especially the third down drops. You know, that's what kills you, because you're killing drives, fourth down drops, killing drives, taking away the potential for not only more production, but for points. That whole operation needs to be way better. Abdul, always here with a negative. What's going on, buddy? Hey, Aaron, what was the most disappointing Packers season based on preseason expectation hype? Man, you could take a pick, and I'm sure the younger folks amongst us would probably say 2011. I'll go with 97, given that, you know, they are coming off a Super Bowl victory and they looked every bit the dominant team they had been the season before. And then to lose to that Broncos team, which was, I believe, a sixth seed, like in that manner, just getting run over in the Super Bowl. That was disappointment, man. That crushed my soul. 2011, it's weird because they were undefeated for so long and then they lose that game in Kansas City. And in that loss in Kansas City, you felt it kind of go, uh-oh, right? That playoff game against the Giants was so frustrating. So many uncharacteristic errors in that game, you know, from guys who were normally so good. That was obviously disappointing, no question about it. But to me, man, you know, it's so funny because people talk about the Seahawks loss in 2014 or all the soul-crushing losses to the 49ers, and those are all bad, man. But nothing, I am telling you, nothing compares to the devastation of your soul after you watching your favorite team lose in the Super Bowl. Man, that shit sucked. And to this day, I haven't gotten over it. Rick Harris, what's up? 2 weeks, random Packer, Reggie Cobb. Wow, fantastic. Well played, Reggie Cobb. Mena says 2020 was the year he felt the absolute best top-to-bottom schedule. Everything was in their favor. Yeah, until Bakhtiari happened. Yeah, it was That was a sliding doors moment, no question about it. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.